So this week we are continuing our second part of our multi-part series on hakdamos of interesting and or important svarim. Last time we did V'yoel Moshe, just to start off with a little bit of excitement and sort of ruffle our own feathers a little bit, get us all mad. So now we are going to be doing the counterpoint to V'yoel Moshe, which is the Hakdama to Eim Habanim Smecha. So a few points of introduction to the introduction. First of all, there are several introductions to the Sefer Eim Habanim Smecha. If you open up the Sefer, if you were to have the Sefer and you open up the first, 60 or 70 pages are full of introductions. I gave you two of the introductions that are actually called hakdamos. He has a mavo, a psicha ketana, so I just gave you the hakdama rishona and the hakdama shniya, and that's what we're going to be focusing on today. Just to get a little bit of a knowledge of who the author was, the author of Eim Habanim Smecha was Rav Yisachar Shlomo Techtal. He was a Hungarian rabbi born in 1885, and what I find most fascinating about using this as a counterpoint to V'yoel Moshe is that they're playing on the same playing field, meaning they're both Hungarian chassidim that learn like Hungarian chassidim. You'll see that the kinds of rayas that he brings are very similar to the kinds of rayas the Satmar Rebbe would bring in terms of their style of learning. They come from the same world. It's not that they're coming from two totally different places. The primary difference is obviously that the Satmar Rebbe believed that very strongly that there's a strong tradition of anti-Zionism that needs to be pushed, and Rav Techtal, coming from that same anti-Zionist heritage, at some point in life stopped, said, let's reanalyze, let's reassess, let's think about if the direction that our community is headed in is in fact the right direction. And it's interesting that that's what a lot of our Zionist heroes, Rav Soloveitchik is no different in that regard. He came from a very strongly anti-Zionist family. The Briskers, the Soloveitchik family, was very strongly anti-Zionist. The Brisker Rav, Soloveitchik's uncle, was certainly no Zionist, and neither was Rav Soloveitchik's grandfather, Reb Chaim. But at a certain point in life, and for both Rav Techtal and Rav Soloveitchik, it happens to be that point was right around the Holocaust, when you take stock and you say, well, what's going on over here? What's happening with our lives? What's happening with the Jewish community? And that caused them to reassess the whole direction of the Jewish people. So that always meant something to me. The fact that it's the Zionist heroes that we look to, for the most part, were people who were not brought up with it. They didn't grow up with these ideals, and they thought about it. And the reason that means something to me is because I was brought up as a Zionist. I was brought up by my parents, who are wonderful people, and taught me a tremendous love of Eretz Yisrael. And even though I mentioned a couple of weeks ago when I was in yeshiva as a kid, my rebbeim, I didn't go to a modern Orthodox school, and my rebbeim were not Zionists. And I always was under the impression that because they are frumer, they are therefore not Zionists, but that, I never identified with them. I always knew that, who I am was that, my family's bumper stickers that we are in a Zionist family. So that's it. That's Dr. Pelkovitz line. He likes to talk about family bumper stickers, there's certain, ideal, defining points of what you are as a member of that family. And that was what I was. But I never knew anything about it. I didn't know, why I was that way. I was just brought up that way. So it's fascinating to me and inspiring to me that some of our great Zionist heroes were not brought up that way. And they dafka became Zionists because they weren't brought up that way, and they thought about it, and they took stock of life, and they started thinking about things. So it's important to actually, it's good to be brought up in a way that makes sense to you and that, you're comfortable with, but it's important to take stock at some time and at some point and say, it's not just good enough that I was told this is right and therefore it's right. Let me look into it. Let me see, what talks to me, what makes sense to me. And I think that in that way, this book is extremely inspiring. Rav Techtal went through the Holocaust. He hid in as the Nazi oppression was increasing in Czechoslovakia when it was invaded in 1938. He hid away in a base medrash somewhere, and he watched from a little crack in the base medrash how all of his friends and neighbors were being deported and were being sent to their deaths. In 1942, he escaped to Hungary. And he ended up in Budapest, and he stayed in Budapest for 2 years. And in Budapest, he finished the Ema Ban Smecha. So basically, the Ema Ban Smecha was written during the Holocaust. As Europe was burning, he was writing the Ema Ban Smecha. And in 1944, Hungary was invaded by the Nazis, so he escaped to Slovakia, which he thought would be safe. At the time, the Nazis went out all-out effort to find every remaining Jew. They invaded Slovakia, and Rabbi Techtal and his family were captured. They were transported to Auschwitz, and in January 1945, the war was almost over already. The inmates of Auschwitz, including Rav Techtal, were transported deeper into Germany, and on his way into Mauthausen concentration camp, he was killed. He was brutally murdered by the Nazis. The story behind his death is recorded in one of the Hakdamos to this Sefer, that he was on a train, and after starving them for a long, long time, the Germans gave them some crusts of bread that they threw into the car where all the Jews were, and hoping that the Jews would fight over them and kill each other over them. And Rav Techtal saw one guy take another guy's bread, someone who obviously desperately needed it, and Rav Techtal stood up for the one who was the victim, and the other person started yelling at him, caused a whole ruckus, and the Nazis came and supported the aggressor, and killed him because he stood up for this Nebuch victim whose food was taken away from him. And that was the end of Rav Techtal's life. Now, his legacy is not only this Sefer, his legacy is more than this Sefer. He wrote Shalos Tshuvos Mishnah Sachir, and he writes about himself that was really where he was comfortable. His life was about Dalet Amos Shel Halacha. He got into writing about this because of the Holocaust. And let's see how he describes it. He starts off like a true chassid, not with a pasuk, not with a maimer chazal, but he says, the Baal HaTanya once said something. And we know that the words of the Baal HaTanya are like Ruach HaKodesh, so it has to mean something. So he said, Baal HaTanya made this statement, I had to look into it and find out what it means, is there any source for it? Baal HaTanya once wrote to the Berdichever, when he was let out of jail, one of the times the Baal HaTanya was jailed, he said, Agida v'adabra atzma m'saper ki yifli v'higdol Hashem lasos ba'aretz u'mi anochi shefal anashim kamoni sheviani Hashem adalom. I'm so grateful, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought me, a little nobody, to this day, sheneskadil v'neskadei shem shemayim al yodai, that there's been a Kiddush Hashem brought about through me, ach me'es Hashem ha'isazos, this was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here's the Baal HaTanya's line that really caught Rav Techtal, legalgal zuchus al yadenu, b'zuchus ha'aretz ha'kadosha v'yoshveha, that the zuchus I had to be saved from Tzara was the zuchus of Eretz Yisrael and those who dwell in it. He sha'amdalanu v'tazvalanu b'kaleis. That's what stands in our stead. That's what's there to help us out when we're in times of Tzara. It's the zuchus of Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Techtal said, what you see from that is that the Baal HaTanya held that whenever you're facing a major Tzara, the greatest zuchus that we have to be able to be saved from a Tzara is the zuchus of Eretz Yisrael. So he says, you know, the Baal HaTanya's Rebbe wrote to in his Tzava to his son that the Baal HaTanya's Bina and Das is Ad Ein Cheker, that we can't possibly even fathom the brilliance of the Baal HaTanya and the insight of the Baal HaTanya. And he says, Shikul Daito Arishon Hu Nevua Ketana. The Baal HaTanya's I think is like a Nevua. When the Baal HaTanya says, I feel like, that's like a Nevua. He was such an incredibly insightful and brilliant person. So he says, so that made me think. The Baal HaTanya is going to say that whenever the Jews are in a time of Tzara, that the Zuchus of Eretz Yisrael is going to be what gets us out. Where does it say that? I want to find that. Where do Chazal say that? Where do we find that anywhere? So Rav Techtal says, I found two sources for it. Number one, in the Chumash. In Vayikra, Perek Chavav, Pasuk Mem Beis, the Chumash says, V'zacharti es brisi Yaakov, v'af es brisi Yitzchak, v'af es brisi Avraham eskar. And then what are the next words? V'ha'aretz eskar. I remember Yaakov, I remember Yitzchak, I remember Avram, and also the land. Rashi, quoting from the Medrash, says, why does it go Yaakov, Yitzchak, and then Avram? It says, Kedayu Yaakov hakatan l'kach. Really, the bris of Yaakov would be enough. And even if the bris of Yaakov is not enough to be mezakeh klal Yisrael, the bris of Yitzchak, the next greater one, is gonna be enough. And even if that's not enough, we'll go one level up. The bris of Avram is going to be greater. So that's where the Medrash stops. Says Rav Techtal, read it through. And what's the next thing? V'ha'aretz eskar. And even if the zuchus of Avram is not enough,
the zechus of Eretz Yisrael is enough. So apparently, the greatest zechus in whose merit we could daven in when we're in the time of tzara, when we were out of zechuyos, is the zechus of Eretz Yisrael. It builds up to that point. And he also says there's another source for this idea, and that is the Mechilta in Shemos, Parsha Gimel. The Mechilta writes, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Bizchus Yerushalayim ani korei lehem es hayom, that Akrias Yamsuf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's in the Zechus of Yerushalayim that I'm being korei the yam for you. So it was a terrible Eis Tzara. The Jewish people were at the foot of the yam. The Egyptians were bearing down on them. And what was the Zechus that saved us in that Eis Tzara? The Zechus of Yerushalayim. And he points out that in Midrashim, a lot of times Eretz Yisrael is called Yerushalayim. The Yerushalayim is not just reference to Yerushalayim, the city itself, but all of Eretz Yisrael. Because he points out that because it's the center of Eretz Yisrael, so Eretz Yisrael is very often referred to as Yerushalayim. So he says, you see from those two sources that the Baal HaTanya's Hargasha, that, you know, this sounds right, the Baal HaTanya's Hargasha, that it's the Zechus of Eretz Yisrael that saves us during times of Eis Tzara, is in fact it's well sourced. We find it in that Rashi and Chumash, we find it in the Medrash. And he points out it further that when dealing with an Eis Tzara, like Yaakov Avinu, when Yaakov Avinu had to deal with an Eis Tzara, so he points out that the Medrash Bereishis Rabbah tells us that Yaakov Avinu, in dealing with an Eis Tzara, decided to take a neder. That taking a neder was going to be ultimately what was going to save him. And he says, look, in terms of describing, are we in an Eis Tzara now? Remember, he's writing this during the Holocaust. So he says, Im amarti lesaper lo yaspiku lanu hagilyonos. If I began to tell you the things that I've seen in my lifetime now, in these last couple of years, there is literally not enough parchment or paper in the world to write down all of the atrocities and horrors that I have seen. He said, if there ever was an Eis Tzara, this is it. This is the Eis Tzara. He says, "Ein lanu yom she'ein kilaso meruba mechavero." Not a single day goes by where the klalos are not greater than the previous days. So he says, we need to look at our avos and find out what they did in an Eis Tzara. So what does the pasuk say Yaakov did by Eis Tzara? So the Medrash records, based on the pasuk, "Vayidor Yaakov neder lemar im yia elokim imadi." Pasuk says, Yaakov Avinu says, if Hashem will be with me, ushmarani b'derech hazeh asher anochi holich, and he'll guard me in this path that I'm going, v'nasan li lechem lechol v'agalil bosh v'shafti b'shalom al beis avi, and he'll give me what I need, he'll give me sustenance, and he'll return me back to my father's house. So Chazal say, my lemor, what's v'yidr Yaakov neder lemor, mikan shenodrin be'is tzara. The lemor is lemor la'acherim, that Yaakov Avinu is teaching all Jews throughout all times a lesson. That when you face an Eis Tzara, you take a neder. You take a special neder, an Eis Tzara, to remind yourself to in whose zechus you hope for salvation. There is such an idea that when you're in a makom sakana, you take an extra chumra. So when you're in an Eis Tzara, you take an extra neder. So says Rav Techtal, here's my neder. We're in the Eis Tzara, we're in the Holocaust, here's my neder. Endor gamani neder gadol elokei Yisrael, I'm taking a neder gadol takarosh baruch hu. Im ye elokimi madi b'itos ha-gzeros ha-kashos se'elu shumarani shaliuchu la-hazigli. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects me and saves me, then he says, what I'm going to do, azai akabal alai b'neder, kimo ha-neder shal Yaakov Avinu alav ha-shalom, l'chaber sefer takeoff, take of Acher Sheyarchiv Hashem Lanu Mitzar Sefer Anogel LeKvodesh LaRitz Yisrael. It says, as soon as I'm saved, my neder is I'm going to write a book, and the book is going to be all about Eretz Yisrael, and it's going to be to inspire people how to love Eretz Yisrael, how to strive to be able to get to Eretz Yisrael, and how to strive to want to build up the land of Israel. And that's going to be my neder, because he says V'shebezeh Tuluya Kol Geulaseinu. Our geula, and this was a major statement. It is the anti-Satmar statement. Remember how we learned a couple of weeks ago how the whole Satmar Shita is that it's ma'akiv the geula when we try to do it on our own. We're supposed to sit back and wait till Kodesh Baruch Hu brings it in and puts it on our laps. Says Rav Techtal, I will prove to you in this book that the only way toward geula is by us showing that we want it, and showing it that we want it is not just by davening Shemoneh Esrei. Showing that we want it is by going, by doing, by building up the land, by wanting to live in the land, by trying to live in the land, and by actually living in the land. That's how we show we want geula, and that's the only path to geula. And he says, then I realized that Yaakov Avinu's neder, it wasn't just Yaakov Stam took a neder, so I'm going to take my own neder of Eretz Yisrael. He says Yaakov Avinu's neder actually was about Eretz Yisrael. He says, if you look at Yaakov's neder, what does it say? That if HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects me, v'shafti b'shalom el beis avi, v'ya Hashem li lelokim. Hashem will be my God if he saves me. So all the Mepharshim ask, what? If Hashem saves you, then he'll be your God, and otherwise that's it? I'm quitting? You know, Yaakov Avinu is going to take off his yarmulke and just, that's it, I'm out. Yaakov Avinu, that was his threat? You don't save me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm leaving? No, obviously that wasn't his threat. He says it must be that what Yaakov Avinu meant is based on what the Gemara Maseches Ksuvos tells us. Kol Adar Be'eretz Yisrael, Doma K'mishi Yesh Lo Eloka. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, it's like you have a God. V'kol Adar B'chutz La'aretz, Doma K'mishi Ein Lo Eloka. That if you live outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's as if you don't have a God. Yaakov Avinu was saying, V'yashem li le'elokim, my kiyum of the neder is going to be, tells you exactly what his neder is, that I'm going to see to it that Hashem is my God, meaning I'm going to see to it that I live in Eretz Yisrael, that I live in the palace, that I live in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's home, that I live in Eretz Yisrael. And he says he found that in Medrash Tanchuma, Mamish says the same thing. Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Re'eh says beferish that was Yaakov's neder. So he said he thought of this pshat, that was Yaakov's neder, then he saw it's Mamish enough in a Medrash, it's enough in a Zohar in Parshas Ve'yetzei, it's enough not to sef the Maseches Avodah Zarah. His Bekiyas is astounding, by the way. If you just read through the Sefer, I mean, his Bekiyas in Tosefta, and Zohar, and like everything, all over the place. So he says, I found later three marmakomos that say explicitly that was the neder that Yaakov Avinu in fact took, to Dafka go to Eretz Yisrael. So he goes on to say that in the Medrash in Parshas Vayishlach, it says, Vayira Yaakov Ma'od. Yaakov was very afraid, the Medrash says in Parshas Vayishlach, because of Omar, Kol Hashanah Malalu, Hu Yoshev Be'eretz Yisrael, Tomar, Shabbat Alay Mikoach Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael, says the Medrash. Yaakov Vina was afraid of facing Esav because he said, you know what Esav has that I don't? He has the Zuchus of Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael. And that Zuchus, now Yaakov knew very well who Esav was, and he knew who he was. He understood that he was a much greater tzaddik than Esav. And yet that one zuchus of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael was enough to scare Yaakov off. It was enough to say that I'm afraid, I don't know what's going to happen because of that great zuchus of Eretz Yisrael. And he quotes from the Chozim Lublin, as the Chozim Lublin said, Dafka, the neder of Yaakov Avinu, is particularly helpful be'ikvas of the Mashiach. When you feel that you're living at the time that's closest to the arrival of Mashiach, that the neder of Yaakov Avinu to connect to Eretz Yisrael is particularly helpful. So he says, why am I writing this book? He says, Avani ben neder asisi legamri ki Yaakov Avinu. I've done exactly like Yaakov Avinu. La'or b'zuchus ad yishav Eretz Yisrael, al-kein b'vadei shetam lan zuchus Eretz Yisrael k'mo sham v'li Yaakov Avinu. I'm just looking for that zuchus to help me out like it helped out Yaakov Avinu. And he says, v'yifal sifri imirtz Hashem alev achinu b'nei Yisrael shebegola limos me'ata be'eretz ha'amim. I'm hoping that through this book, people will read this book and they will be disgusted by their lives in Chutz La'aretz. V'lashav alachmo des eretz chemdo shenachalnu me'avoseinu. And they should return to and desire the land of our fathers. And in that zuchus, we will experience Yeshua. That's why I'm writing this book. I want to glorify Eretz Yisrael, and I want to show the world how important it is to obsess over Eretz Yisrael and to want Eretz Yisrael, to strive, to vie, to be in Eretz Yisrael. And as he ends up the Hakdama Rishona, he says, as I started writing it, I was saved. Now, he didn't make it out of the Holocaust, but he made it till the very end. And in order for him to make it as far as he did make it, he went through several Yeshuos. So he said, and I have no doubt that I was saved long enough to write this book in the Zuchus of Eretz Yisrael. And he says, you'll find the Torah, this is what Rav Shechter used to like to say over from Rav Kook, that someone asked Rav Kook, you know, why is everything Eretz Yisrael with you? It's Eretz Yisrael this, Eretz Yisrael that. So Rav Kook said, no, you don't understand. I just patterned my own personality and my own worldview after the Torah. And every single parsha in the Torah, starting from Lech Lecha, mentions Eretz Yisrael. All talks about is Eretz Yisrael. So it's the number one talked about topic in the whole Torah. So how could I not talk about it? It's the number one topic in all the Torah. That's why I mentioned a few weeks ago that one of the most difficult things I have with the Yeshiva Shevelt is how, like, sometimes there's a tendency to marginalize Eretz Yisrael because they're so nervous about how to deal with Zionism that they just, like, don't talk so much about Eretz Yisrael. How could you not talk about Eretz Yisrael? The whole Torah is full of Eretz Yisrael. So he quotes from the drashas of the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer said, based on the Gemara Megillah, the Gemara says in Megillah, anyone who says Rachav will immediately become a Balkari. Rachav was this beautiful Zona, and just by mentioning your name, just by saying the word Rachav twice, you immediately become a Balkari. It's impossible for a person not to become a Balkari. The Gemara then asks that someone said, oh yeah, Rachav, nothing happened. You know, like, so that's the explanation is that, no, you had to know what she looked like, you had to have seen her, you had to, so, but still, but even mentioning the name, once you know what it is, when you mention the name, it changes you. So he says, if that's true on the Tumah side, it's got to be true on the Kedusha side also. So the Torah constantly talks about Eretz Yisrael, constantly tells Eretz Yisrael, because hopefully the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael will be imbued within us when we constantly mention it and we constantly talk about Eretz Yisrael. So that's why the Torah is always talking about Eretz Yisrael. So he said, that's the end of the first Akdama. Then he gives the Akdama Shniyah, which was written, it seems, once the book was really finished. In the Hakdama Rishona, it seems like it was really written like when he was about to set out to really write the book. Hakdama Shniyah seems to have been written a few years later. The Hakdama Rishona was written, I think, in 1942. I think the book wasn't published until 1943. It took him about a year to write the book. He describes at the beginning of the Hakdama Shniyah the general matzav, the general situation in the world, as he's writing, and he says, the pasuk says in Yirmiyahu is the prophet of destruction, and the pasuk describes asher lamaves lamaves vasher lacherev lacherev vasher la'ra'av la'ra'av vasher la'shevi la'shevi, and he says the pasuk is building up from the least painful to the most painful of the punishments. Interesting, starts with maves, it's the least painful, moving on to cherev, ra'av, and then shevi, being captured, being under other people's control. He says, "Kalam uchar b'pasuk kasher mechaver tzgmar ba'basr davches," and he says, because shevi includes all of the others. When you're in captivity, you're starving. You have under the threat of cherev constantly, and you're under the threat of misa constantly. So being b'shevi is the worst of all of them. So he says, we've had difficult times in the history of the Jewish people, and living through this, to have the ability to see this, is interesting. That's how bad it was. That even as you're living through it, he had the perspective to say that we've had difficult times and we've had persecutions, but never like this. He said, whenever we've been persecuted, there's always been somewhere else to run. There's always been somewhere else to go to. He said, now the entire Europe is burning. Every great rabbi of the last hundreds of years, every great Jew in hundreds of years, all came from this one small area of the earth, and the whole place is burning down. And there's nowhere to go. And other countries have shut their borders. They don't want us. He says, this is the worst we've ever had. The only time there was nowhere else to run was in the Purim story. Kol Medina Medina. It was the only other time. So we've never had it. This is unprecedented in history. So he sort of uses this as his, it sounds like he says, his excuse for writing the Sefer. He says, you know what? I'm not a philosopher. You know, I don't deal with like kluliistic issues. He says, I'm a posek. I deal with Dalet Amos Shel Halacha. It's all I've done my entire life is dealt with Dalet Amos Shel Halacha. But he says, what can I do? I can't concentrate anymore. I can't focus on Dalet Amos Shel Halacha anymore. It's just too difficult to concentrate. And I don't have any Talmidim anymore because they've all been captured. They've all been taken away. So I don't have the clarity of mind for Halacha. You need Shmaitza Bayit Silusa. You need a certain clarity for Halacha. I don't have it. I don't have any Talmidim to teach. And I think I need to start thinking about bigger things now. I need to start thinking about the general. And he tries to explain why he doesn't think this is Bittul Torah for him. Unbelievable. You see like how much Torah was a part of him. That to think about, you know, the goals of Klal Yisrael and philosophy of Judaism, he thought maybe, you know, from his perspective, from his background, that's Bittul Torah. So he says, no, it's not Bittul Torah now because there's no other choice. There's nothing else I can think about. So this is, you know, excuse me for writing a book like this. Unbelievable. And he says, you know, I started to think and I realized that the Nevi'im talk about when Mashiach is going to come and all the things that are going to happen. And he says, by all calculations, we've been through enough. Mashiach should have been here already. And if he's not here yet, we have to start thinking about why he's not here yet. So he says, so let's think about it. And he said, the only conclusion I could come to is that it's because we haven't shown anything in terms of our own desire to get back to Eretz Yisrael. He writes that there's a story the Gemara tells of Rabbi Avahu, where the Gemara says that Kishabal is Stalik bin Olam Nichnasu Chachme Yisrael Atzlo Matzu Shul Bocha, they found him crying
Amrulo, so he said to the Chachamim, the Chacham said to Rabbi Avoh, Lama Atabochu, why are you crying? All you did your whole life was good things. You were toiling in Torah your whole life. Look at all the Talmidim you brought. You didn't do anything other than Torah. How could you be sad? What are you worried about? So Amar Lehem, Aleha Ani Bocha. Shalona Sasi B'Masa'in Shal Yisrael. He said, it's because I didn't take upon myself the yoke of Klal Yisrael. I was worried about my Talmidim, I was worried about my Torah, and I didn't take upon myself the bigger issues of Klal Yisrael. So he says, what I learned from that story is that there comes a time, even in the life of someone whose entire life is dedicated to the Dalai Lama Shal Halacha, that you need to start thinking bigger. You need to start thinking about the Klal, you need to start thinking about what you can do to help the Klal. And he says, and that's in normal times. Rabbi Avoh lived in normal times. Kal v'chomer, someone living through times like these, like the times of the Holocaust. And he quotes from the Rav Yonah Sanaipshitz in the Aras Devash, that Jewish leaders have to think about ideas of how to save the Jewish people. And he said the only conclusion he came to was that we need to start thinking about how much we have to desire to go back to Eretz Yisrael. And he says, I'm writing this book so that, not because I'm necessarily convinced that everyone's going to immediately move, but at least that people will want to move. That at least people, if they read this book, will want to make aliyah. He quotes a medrash, Parshas Lech Lecha, where the medrash says, better to be in the midbaros of Eretz Yisrael than in the palaces of Chutz La'aretz. Right? Rabbi Zev Lef, I think, has a book called To Dwell in the Palace. It's based on Mamari Chazal, where the Eretz Yisrael is referred to as the palace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even the midbaros of Eretz Yisrael are the palace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who wouldn't want to be there? And he says, this is another common theme that he has with the Satmar Rebbe, is that apparently the Hungarian mode of thinking was that they weren't shy about saying this tzara happened because, and giving a reason for the tzara, which is very different than like Rav Soloveitchik used to say. And then, you know, Rav Soloveitchik spoke about the Holocaust. He was very careful to say, I don't know why it happened, but now that it happened, we have to think about what we're supposed to do to move forward. Both the Satmar Rebbe and Rav Techtal aren't shy about saying why they think it happened. Of course, Satmar Rebbe said it happened because of the Zionists, and Rav Techtal says it happened because there weren't enough Zionists. But they both say that they know for sure exactly why the Holocaust happened, exactly why everything was going on. So he says, you see this by David HaMelech, where the generation was punished for not running to go and try to build the Beis HaMikdash. You have, it's like he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing us. It's like a father hits his child, and the child just doesn't know, why are you smacking me? What did I do wrong? You got to think about it. You got to think about, what did I do wrong? So that's the answer. The answer is that we're not trying hard enough to go build the Beis HaMikdash, to run to Eretz Yisrael. Rashi in Sefer Hoshea writes that there will be good times for Klal Yisrael when we start looking after Malchus Shemayim, when we start looking after to try to achieve Malchus Beis David, and when we start looking to try to achieve Binyan Beis HaMikdash. None of those happen without Eretz Yisrael. So obviously what Rashi is telling us is that good things will start happening for the Jews when we start looking for Eretz Yisrael. How do I know none of those things will happen without Eretz Yisrael? What does Gemara in Sanhedrin say? He doesn't quote this, but Gemara in Sanhedrin says that Lasa Lava, we're going to have three mitzvos, and it's Tavu Yisrael b'knisasam la'aretz. When we go back to Eretz Yisrael, there are three mitzvos we have to do. L'hach rezaru shalamalek, l'hamel melech, l'hach rezaru shalamalek, and livnos lem beis ha-bechira. First thing we need to do is establish a Jewish government. Second thing we need to do is get rid of Amalek. Third thing is build the Beis HaMikdash. That's why Rav Shechter always likes to say, and he wrote in the Sefer, Bikvei Hatzon, that people think that the words Aschalta to Geula are so controversial. And so, how could you say that Eretz Yisrael, as we have it now, is the beginning of the Geula? Who told you that it's the beginning of the Geula? Who made you, died and made you Navi, to know that it's the beginning of the Geula? He says, no, I'm not the Navi. It's straight from the way the Gemara learns the Pesukim in Navi. That the Geula is a process that involves three steps. It involves getting Eretz Yisrael, establishing a government there, knocking out Amalek, and finally building Beis HaBechira, building the Beis HaMikdash. Definition of Geula, the Ramban writes in his Hakdama to his Pirush on Shemos, is the definition of Geula is Mikdash. That's why Chazal referred to Sefer Shemos as the Sefer HaGeula, because Shemos ends with the Mishkan. Last five parashios are all about the Mishkan. That's the Geula. The Geula is not getting out of Mitzrayim. The Geula is building the Mishkan. Geula is Mikdash. What's the first step of the process of Mikdash? Lahamad Melech, establishing a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. That's a Schalta de Geula. Shabbat says it's just, it says in the Gemara. That's a Schalta de Geula. That's how you define the beginning the beginning of the Gula, I know personally, when I go to Eretz Yisrael, and I don't want to go veer off too much into personal stuff, try to get through the Akdama, the Ben Smecha, but I don't really understand how, you know, you walk through Yerushalayim and you just like look around as you drive into Yerushalayim, out of Yerushalayim, around, there are cranes all over the place. There are construction crews everywhere, and it's been like that as long as I can remember it. And you realize, like, there are these cities, full cities, that have been built, and an entire country was built from nothing in 60 years. It's remarkable. The accomplishments is remarkable of what was built. How could you look at that kind of infrastructure, which is unprecedented in the history of the world, in our history, since the Churban HaBayis? How could you look at that kind of building and not see that the infrastructure is being put in place for the coming of Mashiach? I mean, how could you say, that's my sasatan? I mean, that's just, oh, it happens to be, it's Rishayim, we can't associate with it. They're building the infrastructure of Eretz Yisrael. They're building, when Mashiach comes, we all have to have somewhere to live. Where do you think we're going to go? You know, I always picture like Ir David, you know, when you walk down to the Kotel, you know, that very fancy apartment. I'm like, I wonder which one like Rav Moshe Feinstein's going to get, you know, like which of these gorgeous apartments, which guy is going to like move out for like Aron HaKohen, you know, like, I mean, to me, like, maybe like when you're in it and you're so close, like you don't see the miracles of it. I don't know. It's like, okay, and he didn't see any of it. Rav Techtal didn't see any of it. He died before HaKamas HaMedina. He saw none of this. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, in direct contrast to the approach that he was brought up with his entire life. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu just waiting for us to make the first step. There's Tosefta Avodah Zarah that says that we are in Chutz La'aretz, we're not as connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why we have so many tzaros. But once we show that teshuka, once we show that desire to be in Eretz Yisrael, even before we get there, that will already reconnect us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that will already begin to alleviate our tzaros. And he says, that's why Yecheskel, Kuzari writes, that's why Yecheskel was misnavi b'chutz laretz. Because nevuah is only able to happen where there's Hashras Hashkin, and that can only happen in Eretz Yisrael. But all Yecheskel spoke about was Eretz Yisrael. So if that's all he spoke about, that's where his focus was, that's where his attention was, so already that brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu closer. Now, you can't say, well, okay, great, so then I'll live a very comfortable life in America, and I'll just talk about Eretz Yisrael a lot, and that'll be great, and then I'll be just as connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, you actually have to mean it. You actually have to, like, when the opportunity comes up, I mean, to take advantage, when you know, to have a little bit of Mesiris Nefesh for Eretz Yisrael, and I'm a total hypocrite for talking about this. Most difficult emotional thing to get over is, what the heck am I doing here? And we all have to feel that way. Why aren't we there? You have to mean it. And he points out that the brother of the Maral writes that although Chazal say, why do we bury people in Eretz Yisrael? We bury people in Eretz Yisrael because Chazal say, the Gemara says that after you die, the Gemara in Kesuvos also, that after you die, you're going to like tunnel through the ground, and Tchiyas HaMeisim only happens in Eretz Yisrael. So it would be much easier if you're like there already, instead of having to go through the whole tunneling through the ground. So it's like a painful process. Tchiyas HaMeisim is going to be like a very difficult and painful process. So the Maral, brother of the Maral says, it is a painful process for Bnei Chutz La'aretz, but if you even just wanted Eretz Yisrael, really, really wanted it, then you won't have to go through that pain. Then you'll be able to, I don't know how we knew that, but he says, then you won't have to go through that pain. So at the end of his second Hakdama, he says, I have to tell you who I'm writing this Sefer for. Same way, it's so fascinating, it's the same way that the Satmar Rebbe ends up his Hakdama. He says, I have to tell you, I'm not writing this Hakdama, I'm not writing this Sefer for people who already think they know what they want, for people who already have ideas, you know, in their heads about what Zionism is about and how great it is. The Satmar Rebbe said, I'm writing it for someone who's totally unbiased. Rav Techtal says, I know I grew up in a world where everyone's going to think I'm crazy, and everyone's going to think that I'm saying things that are heretical, and that this is totally... He says, I'm not writing it for those people. I'm writing it for people who are willing to open up their minds and study the issue. For people who are willing to look at it from an unbiased perspective. He says, and I challenge you. Read this, and don't just tell me, oh, this Rebbe said, that Rebbe said. Show me Makoros and Chazal and Tanakh that tell me that I'm wrong. I want to see where you find that I'm wrong about any of this. I want to see proofs. He says, I have no doubt that people who are against me on these ideas of Avas Eretz Yisrael and of Zionism think that everything they do is L'Shem Shemayim.
And you convince yourself of that eventually. You convince yourself that you're L'shem Shemayim, but you're just totally, you're regurgitating ideas that you've been told without even thinking about it. It says the Divrei Chaim and the Chassam Sofer note that there are a lot of great people who are more interested in their own kavod than they are in the kavod of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the kavod Shemayim. He says if that was true in the times of the Chassam Sofer and that was true in the times of the Divrei Chaim, it's for sure true in our times. So everyone has their, you know, they have their little shtiebel where they're comfortable. They have their yeshiva where they're Rosh Yeshiva and they're comfortable. So it's so much easier to just say, you know, why pick up? Why change all that? So much easier. He says, I challenge you to actually change it, to actually work on it. And he says, you know, you're going to tell me that I'm crazy. This is a brand new idea. In years past, he says, there were Gedolei Yisrael who encouraged Aliyah. There were very great Gedolei Yisrael. The only thing is, the masses were at fault for never listening to them. You know, on the Hirhurim blog, they linked to this guy Joel Rich, who's a phenomenal guy, a special Jew, who learns a lot of Torah, and he links to the to his favorite audio shiurim of the week on the Hirhurim blog. So he linked to my Vayol Moshe shiur. So someone commented, you know, Rabbi Leibowitz is a sympathizer of Satmar or whatever it was, but then someone said, you know, I challenged them to clarify exactly what they mean by that, because that's a little insulting. So they said that, no, what we meant is that just like the Satmar Rebbe claims it's a Sitra Achra that's pushing Zionism, the woman who wrote said, you know what the Sitra Achra was? The Sitra Achra was pushing the masses not to listen to the Rabbanim who were saying to go to Eretz Yisrael. You know, it's true. The large majority of the kibbutzniks in Eretz Yisrael in 1948 were not from, anti-from. That's true. We don't have to change the history. That's true. But it didn't have to be that way. From Jews could have gone. They could have made an effort. They could have tried, but they never did. And even when there were the Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalishers, and for every Ezra HaSofer, for every Ramban that was pushing Aliyah, that wanted people to go to Eretz Yisrael, there were masses and masses and throngs of Jews that didn't budge. And that's why it started that way. He says, our generation is uniquely ready to hear this message, Rav Techtal writes, because, you know, the main Yetzer Hara was, things are so comfortable in Chutz Laretz. Well, it ain't that way anymore, he says, as he's living through the Holocaust. Things aren't quite so comfortable anymore. Now, don't you think it's time? Now we're ready for this message. When will the Golus end? So he says, Mishnas Chasidim, who the Divrei Chaim praises extensively, after realizing Rav Techtal's father was a chassid of the Divrei Chaim, he was a son of chassid, says that building up of Eretz Yisrael is a sign of Yemos HaMashiach, because you can't have kibbutz galios unless there's infrastructure in place. Mamish the Yisod, we said before. You go to Eretz Yisrael and you see the building of the land. I don't care who's doing it. I don't care if the people who are doing it are not Shomrei Shabbos. They're building the land. That doesn't excuse their Chil Shabbos. God forbid. But they're building the land. And that's the infrastructure for Mashiach. And Rav Techtal uses very strong words. He says, anybody who opposes the building of Eretz Yisrael is giving into their Yetzer Hara. Says the name of this book, Eimah Banim Smecha, is based on Yerushalmi and Brachos, Parak Beis Halach Ches, that Eretz Yisrael is our mother, Chutz Laretz is the evil stepmother. And Eimah Banim Smecha, the mother will be proud when her children come home. Our mother awaits our returning. A woman, if you look at the end of the Hakdama, he tells an unbelievable story. He says, a story of a woman, where is it? Yeah, he tells a story that happened in his lifetime. Before Pesach, 1942, Yotza HaGzeira HaAyuma B'Medina Slovakia Al Yidei HaRishayim HaArurim. There was a terrible Gzeira that the Nazis... What? Page Mem, at the bottom of page Mem. Lachtov Besulos Yisrael Migil Sheshesrei Lamala, that they started grabbing 16-year-old girls and up. Ulavilim La'aretz Gzeira Al Makom Lonada, and they brought them to some unknown location. He says, to this day, I have no idea what happened to thousands of Jewish girls. Vashem Yinkom Nikmasenu Mehem B'Meherach, Rosh Baruch Hu should avenge their blood. Vaisa Az Bahala Gadola B'Machne Yisrael, and it was a great tumult in Klal Yisrael. Ve'eda Maisa, and here's a story. Me'echad Sharatza Lahatzilos B'Nosef Atziro Shal Yiplo B'Metsuda Ra'anal. There was a guy who wanted to save his daughters that they shouldn't fall into that trap. Nisa lavar agvolim benosav, and he tried to go over the border with his daughters. Vayaoz b'cholamoid Pesach, who's cholamoid Pesach, v'yivtiach l'ishto sheyishlach hodah telegraphit me'ivar agvol, and he promised his wife that as soon as we make it over the border, we're going to send you a telegraph. Shu'im yiladav yigiyu nachol makom cheftzam, that we made it, that we're safe. Va'im yashva b'beisa be'inayim kolos v'tzofos al esba habesura hani'ima, and the mother left behind was sitting there waiting and waiting for that telegraph to arrive, waiting to learn that her daughters, her children were safe. Sha'avra, and her husband was safe. Sha'avra gvul b'shalom v'yigiyu l'makom batuach, that they achieved security, they reached a place of security. Avla maisa haya she'tafsu es ha'avim b'nosav od terem avra s'agvul, but they were captured. V'ovilu osam li'ira smuch l'gvul v'samu osam b'beis ha'kela, and they brought them to a nearby city and they put them in jail. V'yashru sham b'beis ha'asurim kol chalamoid v'gam yom ha'acharim shal Pesach, and they stayed in jail through chalamoid in the last days of Pesach. V'hayu b'sakana gedol l'shaleach osam takeoff al eretz gzeira, ki keno ya'achok etzlam b'tor onesh al hanisa, ki misha osa pleita v'nitfas nishtalach al eretz gzeira ba'ofen achzari od yoser mishar nishlachim l'sham. They had a law that anyone who tried to escape was supposed to be punished even more than anybody else, and they were sent to an even worse place to suffer an even worse fate. Ubeinatayim noda davar l'ishto eima banos v'nucha l'shar mehergesh hamar shetavaz alza. He says, can you imagine the bitter feeling the mother had when she heard that news about her daughters, about her husband? V'nepach etzla la simcha ala amlatos l'tuga v'ayomtof nepach lo la'evil rachman l'tzlan al balav al b'noseha. What was supposed to be a joyous day, finding out that they were secure, turned into a day of avelus. And she sat and she cried, and va'olam choshech ba'adah, the world became a very dark place. You can't even, he's an excellent writer, Rav Techtel, he's so dramatic. And you can't even put it into words, the matzav that she was going through. Biram zachros v'ish latov harav agon atzadik hayoved Hashem b'mesiris nefesh mamish b'lo muvan amila. But remember this great tzadik latov magam be'es hatok hazeh shehishlich nafsho mineged b'sikun atzmo. Someone put his own life in danger to save them, and he is agon achos Shmuel David Ungar Shlita av based in Nitra. Shalo nach v'lo shakad at shepada b'mamon rav. He bribed the guards and he got them out. V'yatzol lecherus. They were able to go back home and they didn't have to worry about anything. And that was on Achron Shal Pesach. And they telephoned the mother. And they told her her husband and her daughters are coming home. And they were freed. He says, can you imagine what that feels like for the mother? What that day must have felt like? He said, that is what Eretz Yisrael feels like when we go back. Here we are, we're stuck, and Eretz Yisrael is crying for us. Our mother is crying for us and watches us be persecuted generation after generation. And we think we're going to make it and we don't make it. And then when we come back, that's what Eretz Yisrael feels. And that's why this book is Eim Habanim Smecha. The mother is happy on the return of her children. Now the basic outline of the book, let's give you an idea of what he actually says in the book, not just in the Hakdama, is the reason for our suffering in Galus is because we became too comfortable in Galus. He has that line, L'zeh yesh harabonus shalo, l'zeh beis hacharosha shalo. This guy's got his rabbanus, that guy's got his factory. Everyone's happy in Galus. And that's why we suffer, because we forgot about Eretz Yisrael. And the order of redemption, he says, and he tries to prove, Dafka comes through non-religious Jews first. That's the big sat b'taina. How could anything good come from the non-religious Jews? So he's points to all the sources that show that Geula is a process. It's not a moment. For centuries, Jews waited for the moment when it's all going to change. I mean, J.J. Schachter likes to talk about how we're so confused. Because all these years, we waited for the moment. And 1948 came, and we were sure, all right, Mashiach's here. And 67 came, and we said, okay, Mashiach's here. And here we are, 40-some-odd years later, after 67, he's still not here. Because Geula is not a moment. Geula is a process. And the process can start with people who are less than great Jews. The only way to have sudden Geula is if we're Avdei Hashem. Otherwise, it's Ani Rochei V'Chamor. So he says there are two simanim of Geula. One simon of Geula is being given the opportunity to build Eretz Yisrael. The other simon of Geula is suffering terrible Yisurim. Both of those simanim have happened in recent times. He discusses at great length the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, as does the Satmar Rebbe in his Sefer.
But whereas the Satmar Rebbe says that, works on trying to show that even the Ramban, who every other word was about how there's such a great mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, even Bezman Hazeh, the Satmar Rebbe tries to prove that even the Ramban would hold that you're not supposed to live in Eretz Yisrael. That there's no mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. He tries to prove that even the Rambam, who leaves out the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, would hold that there's definitely a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael b'zman hazeh. And the Rambam would say that we need to live in Eretz Yisrael because we need to keep the nation alive, we need to keep the Torah alive, and there are mitzvahs that can only be kept in Eretz Yisrael, so we need to keep those mitzvahs alive. And he addresses the Minchas Elazar, who is a famous anti-Zionist, he addresses each of his tainas, each of his Torah sources, and he goes through all of the sources and tries to show how none of them are really tainas. And he says, the key to Geula, we know, we've been told our whole lives, and we know based on the Gemara, that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt when there's a sense of Achdus. And he says, so what if there are people that are irreligious? If we share something in common with them, shouldn't we nurture that instead of reject it? If they have an Avas Eretz Yisrael, even though they're not Shomrei Shabbos, and they're not doing the right things, and they don't eat kosher, and they're doing terrible things, but the common ground that we have with them, shouldn't we nurture that common ground? Shouldn't we build on that? And if we build on that and we work off of that, that's where Geula is going to come. By finding that common ground and working with it. Not by just being merachik ourselves. And as we described, this is, again, the anti-Satmar Shita. The Satmar Shita was, the Satmar Rebbe used to say, if you live in an Ir Shekula Tzadikim, import some Rishayim so you'll have people who not to talk to. Like, dafke hell, you need to push away. That's part of being a Jew, is pushing away from the bad guys, the bad Jews. But he's saying the opposite. No, the point is to bring together. The point is to have Avas Yisrael and to cultivate the parts that we have in common and use it. And that's how Geula comes. And that's why he believes that Emir Tzashem, through that this opportunity, through the terrible sorrows we experience, and through the opportunities that we have in Eretz Yisrael, we're going to be able to experience Geula.